John chapter 15 and verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they shall keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're on the air to bring you this message on John chapter 15, 16, one of my very favorite verses in the Bible. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that ye should go and bear much fruit. This is the wonderful grace of God. While we were ugly sinners, Jesus even then set his love upon us. He was given us by the Father in the covenant of grace. We were chosen in the Beloved, in union with Christ. And while we were sinners, Christ took upon him all the work that is necessary to redeem us from hell, to save us from our sins, but also to prepare us for heaven. And part of that is Christ-likeness. The true believer is daily being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's not a physical change, but it is a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the inner life, whereby we die more and more to sin and live more and more unto righteousness. And praise God, this is the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. Stay tuned with us today as we go to John 15, verse 16, to let the Bible speak on growing in Christ-likeness to bear much fruit.
Now, when the Lord has chosen us, we were ugly. We were not Christ-like. We were not in any way in his image. Indeed, the Lord very often chooses the most unlikely and the most unlovely person. But he chooses us that he might bring fruit, gospel fruit, Christ-like fruit in our lives. And he is formed in us. Let me read to you Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Now, the branch does not bring forth fruit on its own. It does everything by its union to the vine. That's self-evident. It is the repeated emphasis of this passage. And the branch simply lives the branch life, letting the life of the Lord flow into it. And the nature of the tree must be in every branch. And we learned in 2 Peter 1:4 that we are partakers, sharers. Koinonio is the term. We are partakers of the divine nature. And that, of course, is the conforming and transforming work of the Lord in the believer's life. And so the fruit must be consistent with the nature of the tree. And you'll read that in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am in the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, what is this fruit? What is this Christ-likeness that is to be in your life and mine as disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus was the Father's Son, and he bore the likeness of his Father's holiness. And that life of holiness will be the fruit that comes forth from our life. The Lord Jesus was also a servant to his Father, and that will be born in our lives too, that we will become servants, willing servants, glad servants, with a loyalty and a longing that we do the will of the Father. And that fruit bearing is simply, and I say simply, but marvelously, just doing the will of God. His word abiding in us, us abiding in him, and the fruit will come. There will be a new life, a new walk, a new obedience. And then the Lord Jesus was a shepherd of souls. And that's the mark of the born-again Christian, the Christian that's in Christ. We will love the souls of men. We will firstly value our own soul and realize that our soul is more precious than all the world. And we will give up everything that hurts the soul, everything that hinders our spiritual good, and we will be done with every damaging thing to the soul, but then also the souls of others. We will not see men as merely human, an extension of the animal kingdom, but rather we will see everyone made in the image of God. And we will see a sinner and say, oh, that that man was living for the glory of God. If only they knew they have a soul, and that soul was linked up with Christ, what glory that life would bring to the Father. When we see a boy or a girl, we see the potential of living for God's glory, and we want them to be trained and taught and molded more and more into the knowledge and the image of the Lord Jesus. One more thing about the fruit. The Lord Jesus offered up himself as a sacrifice, and he laid down his life as a sacrifice, an offering unto the Father. Now, we do not follow the Lord to the cross and offer that kind of sacrifice, but we are called to lay our lives upon the altar as living sacrifices, totally consecrated to God. We die to self, we yield our everything to the Lord, and that we are made a whole burnt offering unto the Lord. In the Levitical scheme of worship, the worshiper brought a whole burnt offering, not just part of it, not just a leg or a part of the meat of the offering. The whole animal was offered up in its entirety. And that is the fruit of our living as living sacrifices unto God. We do not just give a little department of our lives and say, well, I'll have Sunday for God and 6 days for the world. No. And nor will it be, well, I'll have a 5-minute devotion in the home and the rest of the time we'll just watch Hollywood for hours on end. That's not Christian living. The Christian living is the total man, woman, or young person living in entirety unto God. And if you can't pray for God's blessing on your activity, then it's not bearing the fruit that the Lord desires in our lives. Now, I move to the essential principle that your fruit should remain. This is absolutely essential. And here is a firm principle laid down by the Lord. Our fruit is not just to be temporary. Temporary in spiritual life is spurious. It's like that fizz in the pop bottle. When you open the lid, oh, it all fizzes up, and then halfway down, the fizz is all gone. That's not the Christian life that you are called to live. You are to live constantly abiding and constantly bearing fruit, that your fruit should remain. And the real evidence of genuine conversion to Christ is this abiding fruit, that you press on, that you go through. And even though we may have served the Lord for years and decades, we don't stop now. We press on to abide and to bear more fruit, that we might glorify our Heavenly Father, right to the day when the Lord calls us out of this world and takes us home to glory. Even our death throes are to be a fruit-bearing testimony of resting and trusting in the Lord Jesus. And so everything in our lives must be tested by the consistency of our fruit bearing. And we ask the question, will our Christian life stand the test of eternal fire? So we need to look to ourselves. And these are the questions that shall test us all. The Lord Jesus gave the parable of the fig tree. We're told in Luke 13 that he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now we know that the Lord is long-suffering and gracious, but he's still looking for the fruit. And if there's no fruit, it doesn't belong to Jesus. It will be cut down. And so in grace, the Lord is giving us this time. And he's giving us each day of health, strength, and opportunity to be consistent fruit bearers. And so we need to check our Christian living. We need to check our Christian profession by abiding fruit, that your fruit should remain. And oh, praise the Lord, if we're building on that solid foundation of the gospel, it will abide. There will be a reward even in eternity of even a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name. And what we do for Jesus is never lost. And our testimony, our sacrifices, our self-denial is all abiding fruit that will bring glory to the Lord. Now, lastly, in this text, there is the excellent promise. Ask of the Father in my name. He may give it you, that ye should, your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name. Now, perhaps we have the greatest secret of all to understand God's way in prayer. And I want you to notice this text, that the promise in prayer is given to fruit bearers. And you have this word that at the end of verse 16, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever. Now, in the original language, that word that, T-H-A-T, is in order that, with the purpose that. And the Lord wants us to be consistently abiding, consistently bearing fruit, in order that whatsoever we shall ask the Father in Jesus' name, he may give it you. And there is the secret of prayer, secret of a prayer life where we have power with God and are able to see victory in prayer. The Lord delights to hear the cries, the prayers of his fruit-bearing children. And when the Father's delight is in your life, in the consistent fruit-bearing, and you're bringing glory to the Father in all that you do, then when you get on your knees and you ask, then the Father is pleased to give unto you the blessings that you are seeking from him. Now, the book of James chapter 4, it says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And here is a blank check given to us in John chapter 15, 16, that if you're a fruit bearer, if you're bringing glory to the Father in your life, well, you're not consuming it on your lusts. It's not what's for me, myself, and I. It's not that will give me some ego or pride of man, but it's for the glory of the Father. And when we pray on those terms, then we shall have the very petitions that we ask of our Father. And surely this addresses much of the difficulties that many people have in prayer. Prayer is the extension of an obedient life. Prayer is the extension of a fruit-bearing life. And if you are not interested in bearing fruit for God, of bringing glory to your Heavenly Father, well, you won't have much power in the place of prayer. You won't have any ability to wrestle with God and seek those things that will bring God's favor upon your life. And so all of this fits together. There is the branch in the vine, passively allowing the life of the Lord to flow into our lives. And we have his love flowing in. We have his joy flowing into our lives. And that translates into fruit, the fruit of a new life, a fruit of new desires. And that fruit brings glory to the Father. And then when we pray and we are in need and we ask of our Heavenly Father, well, it is his delight to answer prayer to his own beloved children who are bearing fruit for his glory. And I hope that all of that adds up to a good, common, godly sense in your heart and mind today, and that you will set yourself now to be a fruit-bearing Christian. And yes, we all lament the lack of fruit. We get on our knees and we pray for mercy and forgiveness, that we don't glorify our Father more than we do, that we don't speak up when we should, that we don't do the things we ought to do, and we don't give up the habits that we know that are hurting our testimony. And so there is this striving, this yearning, this longing for godly fruit in our lives. And that never stops all the days of our lives here on earth, that we might glorify our Heavenly Father. And then prayer becomes a delight. Prayer becomes a wonderful blessing in our lives. And so I encourage you today to set yourself to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Make that decision right now. I'm not just going to drift. I'm not just going to go along with the common idea of a mere flatline Christianity. I'm going to be a fruit-bearing Christian. I'm going to seek the loveliness, the likeness of the Lord Jesus in my life, that I might glorify my Father. And he promises instant rewards, fellowship in prayer, and wonderful answers to prayer. I plead with you to take that stance today. Take a stand today. I'm going to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Call it sanctification. Call it holiness. Call it high-level living. Call it godliness. Call it real Christianity. Call it vibrant Christianity. Call it whatever, but set yourself that you are going to bear much fruit in your life for your Heavenly Father, and so shall ye be. Ye demonstrate that you are his disciple. May God write this on your heart and enable us to so live indeed. Dear Lord, we come in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus today. We thank thee for the plain teaching of thy word in this passage. And oh God, we confess that some of these things are so familiar to us that we miss them. We have known them, read them, thought about them many times, but Lord, we miss them so quickly. And yet they are so fundamental and important in our daily fellowship, in our daily walk, and in our bringing forth fruit to your life. And so I pray today for the Holy Spirit to fill each believer. How we need the ministry of the Spirit in our lives, that we will glorify our Heavenly Father. O Lord, take away every deadness. Take away every false thinking. Take away every wretched way that is hindering the fruit in our lives. But let us abide in thee. Let thy word abide in us. And we pray that we will bring forth much fruit. Now bless every brother and sister. Watch over us this Lord's day. May we even bear fruit today by loving your day, using your day, glorifying you every hour of this Lord's day in our words, thoughts, and deeds. And as we gather again for ministry this evening, O Lord, grant that you will meet with us. Grant that we will be in the Spirit on the Lord's day and know your blessing. We ask thee now to dismiss us, bless us, abide with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed now and ever. Amen. Amen.
I am amazed that God could ever love me. Love me so full of sin.
so covered o'er with shame. Make me to walk with him who is above me, cleansed by the power of his redeeming name.
I am amazed that God would ever save me. Not but the cross would take away my sin. Eternal life he gave me. Now he abides forevermore with him.
Well, I hope that you got the message today that we are chosen to bear fruit for the Father's glory. What a noble calling to be a Christian. This elevates every born-again Christian to have a life of purpose, a life of meaning and power, because the Lord will equip you to live the life that He has chosen you to live. And the first thing we need to be changed into the image of the Lord Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean changing our physical features, but it means changing our heart, our mind, and our attitudes, so that our one desire is to glorify the Father. That was the burning heart of Jesus when he was on earth. He was sent to glorify the Father, and he could say that he had glorified the Father on earth, and he did so by fulfilling the mission to work to which he was called. Now, you and I have a mission as a Christian to live for God, to glorify him day and daily. And that now becomes our burning desire. We get up in the morning to glorify God. We lie down at night and we confess, Lord, I ought to glorify thee more. Tomorrow, make it an even better day, that I might live more for the Savior. And that becomes the passion of the Christian. Stay tuned now as we come to our closing announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on the station as we let the Bible speak.